This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can get on NewWorldNextWeek.com. And, James, so much to go over this week. We are going to get right into it. Our first story comes from the Associated Press, and it is a massive article, but we're just going to hit the first few paragraphs. Past medical testing on humans revealed. Shocking as it may seem, U.S. government doctors once thought it was fine to experiment on disabled patients and prison inmates. Such experiments included giving hepatitis to mental patients in Connecticut, squirting a pandemic flu virus up the noses of prisoners in Maryland, and injecting cancer cells into chronically ill people at a New York hospital. Much of this horrific history is 40 to 80 years old, but it is the backdrop for a meeting in Washington this week by Presidential Bioethics Commission. The meeting was triggered by the government's apology last fall for federal doctors infecting prisoners and mental patients in Guatemala with syphilis 65 years ago. U.S. officials also acknowledged there had been dozens of similar experiments in the U.S., studies that often involved making healthy people sick. An exhaustive review by the Associated Press of medical journal reports and decades-old press clippings found more than 40 such studies. At best, they were a search for life-saving treatments. At worst, some amounted to curiosity-satisfying experiments that hurt people but provided no useful results. Inevitably, they will be compared to the well-known Tuskegee syphilis study. In that episode, U.S. health officials tracked 60 black men in Alabama who already had syphilis but didn't give them the adequate treatment even after penicillin became available. These studies were worse in at least one respect. They violated the concept of first do no harm, a fundamental medical principle that stretches back centuries. James, did we cover the Guatemalan story last fall on New World Next Week?
I don't remember. We might have. I certainly covered it on Sunday Update, but but certainly this is a story that keeps cropping up from time to time when certain studies come out, isn't it?
And again, you know, shocking as it may seem, they start the article off with. But after we say, well, after dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of stories, it shouldn't be as shocking and a surprise that, oh my God, I can't believe these things have happened. Yeah. I've always found it interesting as well. You'll see a lot of stories just coming from regional areas, such a, you know, that you would only, you wouldn't get on the front of Google News. You would get it, you know, from some Oklahoma City paper that says, oh yeah, we apologize for sterilizing all those people. Sorry.
Right, exactly. And of course, this article has lots and lots of different examples, some examples I'd never even heard of before. So I suggest people go through it and yes, take a look at all the different ways they're injecting people and you know, subjecting them to all sorts of different flus and viruses in the name of medical research. But it doesn't, of course, get into the, all of the different examples, and it doesn't get into the biowarfare testing, which we know the U.S. government and many governments around the world, including the Canadian government, has been doing on its own citizens for decades, and the different agents that they'll expose the populations to without them ever knowing, and all of that sort of thing. And then that doesn't even get into other types of issues, like the fact that Canadians were eating cloned animals for years in a secret agreement that the Canadian government made with certain companies that the Canadian people never knew about for years and years. I mean, all sorts of stories like this, and it just always goes back to show that the people in charge of the system don't care at all about the people that are under them. They just want to, you know, do their experiments or just treat the people like cattle. And if the people don't actually get upset about these things, then unfortunately they will just be cattle.
And I think, too, something that we try and do on this show and on our own respective shows is give that subtext and give the context to these stories. That, again, this article will make no reference of the eugenics agenda that this is part and parcel of. They never get into the why. And perhaps maybe that's not their place to do it. Maybe that's really our role, and we shouldn't even really expect that from them, James.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, certainly they're not going to do it, so we have to be here doing it, so that's
absolutely
what we'll do.
So that segues quite well into our second story from a site that I just discovered. It's called freefromharm.com, and the story, major farm animal cloning project canceled due to disease and deaths. After 13 years of studying how to prevent abnormalities in cloned animals, Ag Research has ended its cloning project because too many of the animals died. Ag Research is a New Zealand-based company that has spent more than a decade trying to perfect the cloning of animals for use in scientific and medical research. Their cloning trials tried to create animals that produced a type of super milk, sheep that were resistant to eczema, pregnant sheep that wanted to eat more food, and special proteins to be used in human medications. But on Monday, the company released a report that said, quote, only 10% of the cloned animals survived through the research trials, and because of the unnecessary suffering of the animals, they had stopped their cloning projects. The majority of the animals died as a result of spontaneous abortions and much worse, and I'll spare you the gory details. The report also stated that cloned cattle, sheep, and goats suffered from medical conditions such as chronic arthritis, pneumonia, lameness, and blood poisoning. Although ag research has ended cloning projects, the news is not all good. The company now plans to focus its attention on a newer research method, transgenic technology. This procedure uses embryonic stem cells to create new life. However, the first generation of transgenic animals appears to be having the same high mortality rates as the cloned animals. Last year, two baby goats died and four other animals had to be euthanized. Scientists at Ag Research say that once the transgenic animals grow to adulthood and have babies of their own, they're far less likely than the cloned animals to pass on any abnormalities. Hopefully, there won't be too many animals that will have to pay the price to see if this theory is right or wrong. General Manager Dr. Jimmy Suddy said, quote, the work was being done ultimately for the benefit of humans, and scientists took animal welfare standards and ethical issues very seriously, end quote. Now, James, this story certainly reminds me of some group of families several generations back who thought it would be a great idea because they were of such great stock that if they only bred and interbred with each other, that they would, of course, create the uber mensch, if you will. So how did that work out?
I don't think it worked out particularly well for them. And of course, you're referring to the Darwins, the Wedgwoods, the Huxleys, the Galtons, and people can look into even Charles Darwin's own biography to find out how that worked in his own life when he married his first cousin. And I believe his cousin was also the product of a cousin marriage. So at any rate, it doesn't work out that well. And again, this is another interesting aspect of the medical and scientific horrors that can be created and conducted in laboratories these days. And to a certain extent, I guess it's a good thing that this failed. But unfortunately, we know that they're rolling straight ahead with the GM agenda, and that we're going to get all sorts of new GM foods, including GM salmon and everything. So, unfortunately, the transgenic experimentation just continues right along, and unfortunately, it's going to end up on our plates.
And whether or not we know it or not.
Exactly, and that's another key point. If people want to choose to eat GM foods, that's great. If people want to choose to eat cloned animals, go for it. But I don't, and I'd like to know what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, James, our first two stories dealt pretty explicitly with the eugenics agenda, I believe. But our third story will be quite different in a way, and we'll take this from the fantastic Cryptogon.com, one of the best alternative media sites out there. And this story isn't something that has a whole lot of text that I'm going to read for you, but the title of the post is Ideas for a Television Show About Conspiracy Theories, where Kevin, the webmaster of Cryptogon.com, notes he got an email from a guy who's the executive producer of a TV show about conspiracy theories. I'll let you figure out which show we're talking about. They basically wrote him to say, hey, we like your site. Do you have any ideas of things we can cover for the show? So he provides some of their back and forth emails, but he leaves out the guy's name and some of the other info just for coverage. And it goes to the point where the guy stops talking to him. Because once he says, hey, why don't you cover Monsanto? Why don't you cover genetically modified organisms? Why don't you cover CIA drug running? Why don't you cover the military's interest in robots? And food is the gateway issue that I think, James, you and I can always say things kind of come back to, and Cryptogon notes the same thing. So it's interesting to note that, yeah, at some point the producer's like, well, that's a little too much truth for us. I'm going to stop right there. What's your take on this, James?
Well, it's a fascinating post, and I really suggest people go and read it because it has a great little breakdown of all of these different issues and talks about two or three of the points that they could cover in such an episode of the show. So I think it's a very interesting to take a look at and to really think about the best way to start introducing people to this, because obviously the question here is how do you introduce this information to a a big mainstream audience who may have absolutely no familiarity with any of the topics that we discuss on a weekly basis. And it's a really interesting question to think about, because I never take it for granted that the viewers out there have any idea about this type of thing or really understand about, you know, 9/11 false flag or anything like that. So I'm always thinking about what are the best ways to introduce people to this type of alternative knowledge as well. And I, of course, I don't have the answers, but I think everybody has a different issue that they can connect with. And James, I know both you and I both got interested in this through 9/11 and studying the anomalies there. But I think the issue that really, really woke me up and got me into this was finding out about the money supply and how it's controlled by very few people and created out of nothing, and we owe debt based on this imaginary wealth. That really, really started to get me thinking about the whole structure of the system. How about yourself?
Well, I was going to say is that, as you just said, everybody has their issue, and I know we've talked about that, and I've talked about it on my show, is I've always felt more successful in a way of talking to folks on a one-on-one personal level. I've never been a stand on the street corner and yell at people that 9/11 was an inside job kind of person. That everybody does have their story, and if you can find those areas that people are interested in, those are their gateway issues. As far as my take on the show itself, I've watched, you know, a good bit of the episodes, and the pessimist in me says, well, if this was really getting at the heart of what's really going on, this wouldn't come anywhere near being on television. But the other part of me says, well, they are still covering important stories. And is that better than people watching Dancing with the Stars? Absolutely.
Absolutely agreed. I mean, if for whatever faults it has, the amount of good it's done is still, I think, overwhelmingly better than the faults. But anyway, that's a whole other issue, I think.
All right, James. So we're just about out of time. I will throw in a mention that, of course, on my upcoming episode 208 this weekend, that will cover all of the stories surrounding the Middle East and all the other things that I cover on MediaMonarchy.com, as well as some of my other sites.
Right, and I'd just like to let people know that, unfortunately, I've just received the news that there's been a death in my family, so I'm going to be releasing the podcast episode this Sunday as regular, and I have one last word video that I'll be releasing next week. But other than that, I'll be taking a few weeks off for a hiatus, and I will be back in April, so unfortunately, a very somber note to end it on, and your support and encouragement during this time will be greatly appreciated and gratefully accepted, so please bear with me.
So, James, my thoughts are with you as you take this hiatus.
Well, thank you, and thank you again for all your help this week, and I'm looking forward to returning with New World next week in April.
All right. Thanks so much, man. You take care.